Good evening. I'm Dr. Elaine Schroeder. Welcome to Mind Over Matter, a monthly K2 radio show that explores issues important to our hearts, our minds, and our bodies. During the past several Mind Over Matter programs, we focused on the interrelationship between our mind and our bodies through such practices as acupuncture, yoga, tai chi, and somatic experiencing. We've looked at ways of healing and finding wholeness that do not follow the traditional Western medical model. Tonight, I have invited Mary Sapansky, a nurse and educator, who has recently written a book about energy healing. Mary is well known in Juneau for her work in the field of healing touch, particularly at Bartlett Hospital. Welcome to Mind Over Matter, Mary.
Thanks, Elaine. I'm glad to be here.
Great. Hey, I know you've been a nurse at Bartlett, and you've also been in private practice for many a year in Juneau. So tell me, we're going to talk about energy healing and the information in your book, and we're going to be talking about therapeutic touch, but I'd love to get some background on you, where you did your training as a nurse and the kind of work you do at Bartlett.
Okay. Well, Elaine, I went to Cornell University for my nursing undergraduate degree and then got a master's at Colorado University in Denver. And that's actually where I did start to study some healing touch.
Uh-huh.
And also other energy healing practices.
Okay. And so what kind of training? I mean, I think we're all familiar with the kind of training you need to be an RN. And you got your master's in community nursing?
Community health nursing, right.
Community health nursing. And you started with healing touch training. So what kind of training does a healing touch practitioner need? What kind of training did you get?
In this particular approach, the healing touch approach, I took 5 classes that were each 20 or 30 hours each. And then in order to get certified, I followed protocols that included doing 100 treatments, working with a mentor for a year, doing a certain amount of reading, and having other community experiences, a community project. So it's kind of an intensive training for Healing Touch certification. And then I also got certified as a Healing Touch instructor.
Okay, because I know you've been teaching Healing Touch all around the U.S., and in some European countries as well.
Right.
I noticed Poland was one of them.
Right.
Well, that must have been interesting. You could teach in English?
Well, the experience in Poland was translated, although many of the people did understand English. And that was actually in 1990, so that's going back.
That is really, that's definitely going back. And what is your work at Bartlett? What kind of nursing do you do there?
At Bartlett, I do psychiatric nursing, which is what I've done for most of my nursing career. And then I also coordinate healing touch there. So we have either I give healing touch treatments if there's a request from patients, or there are volunteers that give treatments. And part of healing touch is about service. So we often try to have volunteers at the health fairs, at like the Homeless Connect, and other community events.
That's interesting. So a part of it is service. And I would think that in any of the healing professions, there's always part of it that is service.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think when we say service, in your case with Healing Touch, it's giving professional care free of charge.
Much of it
free of charge. And how wonderful the Bartlett has supported your program. So does that mean that if you're a patient at Bartlett, you could request a healing touch session and you won't be charged for it?
At this point, yes, that is true.
Hey, that's probably the one thing you aren't charged for at Bartlett. How wonderful. Okay. I have your book here, and we're going to be talking about the contents of it, which is really all about the umbrella term, energy healing. And I was struck by one of the opening sentences, and it is, I have always believed in miracles. Okay, what's that about?
Well, I think that maybe it had to do with being raised in a religion where miracles were part of the teachings, and really gravitating toward that understanding that there are things that we couldn't understand, there are things that happen that you don't know why, but they just happen. And I think as I moved into things like meditation, starting to understand that there are a lot of things that we don't completely understand, and then certainly learning more about healing, there is a lot of mystery about it. And although there's also a lot of science now, but there is still things that aren't known.
Well, I think it would be real important. I think many of our listeners, and in a way including myself, don't fully understand what energy healing means. So could you inform me, what is energy healing?
Sure. Energy healing is working with the energy field that's in and around the body. And in the case of healing touch, a lot of the techniques are either to balance the energy based on the idea that when people are ill or upset, that there's something out of balance in the body. So some of the techniques are specifically for rebalancing the energy field. Some techniques are for clearing. So if someone has received a big load of bad advice and they're reacting with anxiety or feeling sad, that there's a way to clear some of that energy, even from trauma at times. Pain is a big issue too, from injuries, illnesses. Energy healing can also be used to clear pain.
What is an energy field? What does that mean?
Energy field is a vibration, or the frequencies that are sensed in the body, in and outside the body. So it's even been studied that each organ, each type of tissue has a specific type of vibration. And if that part of the body is injured, then restoring that vibration, the normal, natural vibration, is a way to make an inroad to healing the body.
Well, I know, having worked as a psychotherapist for decades, that there is such a thing as body memory. And I know when I was first working with incest survivors and other victims of trauma, I learned, and it was mysterious to me because I didn't know what that meant, that there was a memory hidden in the body, not hidden, but present in the body. And I remember years and years ago, I worked with AWARE to have a group counseling program for women who were incest survivors. And this must have been 30 years ago, and I really was naive about the impact on the body of trauma, and I asked a massage therapist to come into one of our classes. Now, I did realize that we should just play it safe and do hand and head massage, okay? But what I didn't realize is how, shall we say, risky that was, because many of the people in the group really could not handle touch. And does this relate at all to what energy healing can do about trauma to the body?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, some people believe that it's the energy field in and around the body that actually is that connection between body and mind. But for an example, healing touch can be done without touching the body. So just moving the hand or holding the hand over a few inches away from the body and can help balance the energy field that way. So it's kind of like the hand, the person giving the treatment has a vibration that can balance the energy outside the person's body, which vibrates with the skin and with the muscle and progressively through the body and even into the different organs. But an example for trauma that I wanted to share is I had one person who was a friend, and she had experienced various traumas as a child, physical abuse. And when I balanced her energy centers, she had a different memory release on each energy center. And she would start crying and releasing that. And, of course, I asked her if it was uncomfortable, if she wanted me to stop. And she knew she was benefiting from that. So we just continued. But it was such a good example of how people could release that without necessarily talking about it. She did share with me because she felt safe. She shared what was going on, not necessarily specific memories, but generally. And so it was a good way for me to understand that people could release trauma without necessarily talking about it.
Definitely without talking about it.
Yeah, because, as I'm sure you know, sometimes talking re-traumatizes people.
It can, right.
Yeah.
It can. Does the term energy field have a relationship to chakras that come from Indian Ayurvedic science, I believe?
Yes, and there are many different approaches to doing energy work on the body. For example, acupuncture, acupressure, work on the energy system that is in the meridians of the body. And from the Hindu beliefs, the chakras are ways, are kind of a source of energy that keeps the body balanced and the energy field balanced. And in Healing Touch, although we use some work with chakras, a lot of it is just working on the energy field, the whole energy field, to balance the whole energy field.
Mm-hmm. Do other systems of medicine other than Western allopathic medicine have the notion of energy fields? What about Chinese medicine? I would think that, well, you mentioned acupuncture.
Right, yeah. Right. Chinese medicine, from what we know, is probably one of the oldest systems that has been around for, some people say 3,000, some people say 5,000 years. So their system for a long time has been about rebalancing the energy field. And although they use a lot of Western medicine now, I've heard of clinics where you can go on the Western medicine side, the allopathic, or you can go for the energy or the Chinese medicine side of the clinic.
I noticed in your book there was mention of other traditional healing techniques from other cultures. Do you feel it's kind of a universal sense, especially in indigenous medical practices, that there are energy fields that most human civilizations, human cultures, have recognized energy fields?
I absolutely think that's true, especially in the more ancient times. I think as people got into more technology and kind of into different philosophies and ways of thinking about the world, they've kind of disconnected from that.
Aha. And so how would you draw a comparison between, there's another term, vibrational healing, from energy healing, distinct from Western medicine? I mean, what's the difference?
Well, I think in Western medicine, there is a big focus on curing a disease or a symptom or an illness, and using surgery, using medicine, using things like radiology in the case of cancer. And the other methods of healing are much more subtle. So that, for example, some things can happen that you don't necessarily see or feel, but once you tune into them, that you do notice a difference.
Uh-huh. How do, in your practice, since you know, how does your treatment, how is it viewed by the physicians either at the hospital or in private practice?
Well, at this point, I think it's been around long enough, and we do have a research base that many people are very accepting of it. Not everybody agrees with it. Some people have philosophical beliefs or just don't know mm-hmm. about the research that that's been done. Some people also have religious beliefs that preclude being open to things mm-hmm. like energy for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually mixed.
Okay, it's mixed. And I think this is a good time to take a look at, has there been any research done on the impact of various modalities? And we'll talk about, you've mentioned a couple of the modalities, but let's take healing touch. Has there been any research done on that?
Yes, there has been. And in fact, now there's been enough research where it's actually being classified into type A research, where there have been experimental research studies that show significant, statistically significant benefits of healing touch. And there are other less standard or lower standards of research that are things like surveying people for what level of pain relief they've had, which is something that I do at the hospital when I give a healing touch treatment, if the person is still awake when the treatment is finished, to ask them how much pain reduction they've had, how much anxiety reduction they've had. And then every couple years, I compile those statistics into a report. So we started healing touch at the hospital in 99, so I have a number of years of research that shows that. And I don't remember exactly, but it's kind of amazing to look at that some people might have 2 points of pain. We use a scale of 0 to 10, 0 being no pain, 10 being the most pain people can mm-hmm. imagine. And so some people have reduction of 2 points or 3 points or 4 points, sometimes 8 points of pain reduction. So which, you know, if you add that on to pain reduction that they might be getting from medication or from meditation or prayer or other things that they're doing, that it's quite significant. Even on its own, it would be significant.
Well, when you talk about mystery, I think one thing that we're really clear on in Western psychology is that there are mental states that impact healing and impact immune response. And, extensive research has been done on mindfulness-based stress reduction of people who take that 8-week class, and then they do a pre and a post, and they have neurological changes that are completely evident and significant as measured by the functional MRI. So we also know that research has shown that, for example, with breast cancer patients, a good social network is one of the key things that predict longevity. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I've read that also.
Yeah.
And one of the things with energy healing and healing touch is that relaxation is such an important part for healing.
Oh.
So that is one of the main results of healing touch, that they get out of the stress, the sympathetic nervous response, and move into relaxation, and then the body can do what it needs to do for healing. And I always try to remind people that the body is made for healing. You know, we have all these mechanisms that if the energy is balanced, the body is going to heal and heal much easier, much quicker.
Uh-huh. And I imagine you have to put the caveat that some conditions aren't going to be cured, but it would be, the healing would be in the sense of emotional healing. I mean, if someone has a progressive disease, for example, the healing touch would support the quality of their life while they're
right
there.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's exactly true, that when we talk about Western medicine, we talk more about curing. But in holistic practice, and I'm also a certified holistic nurse, and in holistic practice, we are looking more at quality issues and wholeness. Mm-hmm. So, as you said, people aren't always going to be cured, but they can live a life with more acceptance of the illness and more kind of readiness and to move on with their life.
Well, I think that philosophy is starting to move into Western medicine. Have you read the book Being Mortal by Atul Gawande?
I have not read that. Sounds wonderful.
Have you heard of it? Okay. He's a physician, and I believe he teaches at Stanford University, and his book has been on the bestseller list, and many, many people are very influenced by it, because what it does is it takes end-of-life issues, medical end-of-life issues, and is really promoting that Western medicine look more at the quality of life rather than dramatic medical interventions. In fact, he quotes a lot of literature showing that at end-stage treatment, that heroic attempts are often really harmful to the patient and really destroy their quality of life. So it's going against live longer at all, at any cost, that idea, and looking much more at quality. And he's, I think, a major voice in medicine. My hunch is that he's influenced a lot of doctors in Juneau, particularly maybe Bobby Rada, who's, I would say, an individual who's on the board of the Foundation for End-of-Life Care and is really taking a look at the right way for us to spend our the end of our lives.
Yeah. Well, I heard you use the word quality a few times now, and moving back to the idea of research, that because energy healing, healing touch affects the quality of life so much, it's one of the challenges of research is to figure out how to define that and how to get people to identify that in a research study. So quite often when I give a healing touch treatment, people open their eyes when it's finished and they say, I feel better. But better isn't really a research thing that you can measure. So
yeah.
How do we get people to define? What parameters can we mm-hmm. set on that to put into a number crunching system where you can
right.
move the qualitative into quantitative
exactly.
research?
So it does create problems, as does doing research on mindfulness-based stress reduction. So once the functional MRI came into play, they were very happy, I can tell you, because they could have quantitative data
absolutely.
About the impact. And I'm sure the functional MRI would also play a role possibly in healing touch research if somebody was willing to do that and to see neurological changes, because the relaxation would create brain changes.
Right, absolutely.
And respiration, that, all those kinds of
right.
changes.
And they have done some specific research with, talking about high tech, the squid detectors, the superconducting interference devices. This was John Zimmerman in Colorado a while back. Could actually look at the frequencies of the patient's body and the frequencies of the healer's hands and things like that.
Great. Hey, Mary, let's take a short break with some good music, and then Mary Sapansky and I will be back to talk more about energy healing. Thank you. Welcome back to Mind Over Matter. I'm Dr. Elaine Schroeder, and with me in the studio tonight is Mary Sapansky, a nurse and an educator who teaches and practices healing touch. We are talking about energy healing in general, healing touch in specific, and what it is and how it works. So, Mary, when you have an appointment, let's say, with someone who's coming in for a healing touch session, as I understand it, you're a nurse, okay, so you're used to doing things carefully. And how do you do an assessment?
Well, I think I could just back up a little bit before the assessment, because when a healing touch practitioner is working with a client, it's important to remember that we are not using our own energy. We're not the healer in a way of fixing things, but we're connecting with the universal healing energy that's all around us, or some people incorporate whatever their belief system is about where the energy, the source of energy. And so that's kind of the very beginning. And then the next step is to put yourself in a neutral state so that you can just use your hands to sense the energy around the person. So even without touching them, to just move your hand over this, above the surface of their body. In some cases, we also assess the energy centers or the chakras, moving the energy, moving your hands over the those energy centers. But also as a nurse and just being an observing person, there's a lot that you can pick up from the client. For example, an expression on their face, or a way they hold their posture, or if they're having difficulty walking. So all those things can become part of the assessment. But with the energy assessment, you might be able to feel where the energy field is balanced. So if the energy field is even all over the body, that usually means that the energy is balanced. If there's a place that feels cooler or warmer, or where you don't feel anything at all, those are signs that there is something out of balance in the energy field, and that's where the energy might need to be worked with.
And how do you work with it?
Again, going back to being that neutral force, letting the universal healing energy come through my own energy field, and allowing that energy to move through my hands into their energy field. So how much energy they receive depends on how receptive that person is. And some people are just open and ready to receive whatever energy is available. Other people might have more difficulty with that. And that isn't very common. Most people who request treatment, they receive the energy.
Okay. Will energy healing work if the person who's receiving it is a non-believer, or so let's say somebody maybe somebody gave them a birthday present of a session with you,
okay?
And they just think it's poo-poo. They really believe it doesn't work, but they're going to do it. Can it work?
It still could. But I would say skepticism is good. You know, we all should be skeptical. I remember Joan Borisenko had an expression. She used to say, open your mind, but don't let your brain fall out. And I always think that was kind of funny. But the thing about skepticism is if it's to such a degree that you just think there's no way it could work, then you could block the effects.
Sure.
And then it might not work. But if your skepticism is maybe it'll work, maybe it won't work, then, and there's some openness, there's a good chance that it could still work.
Really? Okay. And so it sounds like it has something to do with the quality of the relationship between the energy practitioner and do you call them patients or clients?
In the hospital, they're patients. Yeah. In private practice,
they're clients. Yeah. So in psychotherapy, relationship is everything. If one doesn't have rapport with one's client, you can't make somebody better.
Mm-hmm. I agree, and it's very similar in energy healing, that, and maybe in everything in our lives, that things are successful based on the quality of our relationships. So if the person receiving a treatment is trusting, and the person giving the treatment is trustworthy, then they probably will progress to a
absolutely same in psychotherapy. Mm-hmm. I was always happy to have personal referrals. In other words, a friend of a friend referred my mm-hmm. client because they came in with a positive attitude rather than a health management organization, an HMO, or a corporation. Referred them. Very interesting, because think of the difference. If you're referred by a non-entity, meaning a non-human, a corporation, versus if you're referred to a therapist or a healing touch practitioner by a dear friend or a trusted physician.
Right.
It really, I know that when somebody came in through word of mouth, I had a better chance of working successfully with them.
Right.
Yeah.
And I will say in the hospital, I have had experiences, you know, just a few times where the doctor referred a patient for healing touch. And when I arrived, there were subtle cues that the patient really was not interested in it. They were saying yes because the white coat effect, they wanted to do what the doctor said. But I just sensed that they kind of stiffened up and, you know, we're not really wanting to receive healing touch. And so I just said, you know, is this something you want to do? I know your doctor said it would help.
Yeah,
but
you gave him a way out.
Right. Because with healing touch, there are also certain people who make good clients, and above and everything else, it's people who want to
yes.
receive a treatment.
It's really, yeah. in psychotherapy, yeah. right. If you have to want to.
Yeah.
And that was always a problem working with adolescents, I might say, because probably 1 in 100 adolescents chooses to go into counseling, maybe more than that. But since one of the population groups I worked with and enjoyed working with were adolescents, I really had to find a way to get good rapport with teenagers.
Right.
And
right.
Yeah. Because of the subtlety of energy work, do some people have more of a gift for it than others? Are we all equally blessed with the ability to feel energy fields, or can?
I think that anybody could learn it. Anybody could learn the techniques, but I think there are some people that are more tuned in to subtle energy. Many people that I get in class have very advanced intuitive skills, and they sense the energy much more easily than other people. But anyone could give a good treatment once they learn.
So it's a teachable skill.
Absolutely.
But obviously, like in anything else, whether it's psychotherapy, medicine, art, some of us have a talent in one direction more than the other.
Right. Some people are really good at developing a nice connection with somebody very easily. And, of course, with healing touch, that's probably going to make the process go more effectively.
And I think also when we feel that we have a natural inclination towards, like, as you say, mystery, and your belief in miracles, you as a nurse trained in the Western model would be much more open to the idea that there are realms beyond what we can codify, realms beyond which we can see that influence healing.
Right. And I find that my background is a balance of those things, because I loved science. I went into nursing because I liked the science. I love the studying anatomy, but I also like the caring aspect as well. And when I was introduced to energy healing, it felt like it just brought things into even a bigger balance. I saw, for example, people who would have, like a single person would have one surgery after another. This one patient in particular had 7 surgeries, and they were still hurting. And I believe in Western medicine, but I also think that if surgery is effective, then it should work. So in that case, it made me think even more, what else is going on? What else could this person be offered? Where else would she be? Could we look for help for this person?
Well, simply the relaxation. I'm thinking of going into surgery or going into any kind of treatment, serious treatment. If you really trust the surgeon or the physician, you trust them. And then a healing touch session before surgery could at least, at the very least, be very relaxing. One would think that the surgery would go better.
Well, and that is one of the areas of research, is that complications from illness and surgeries are decreased when people receive healing touch treatments.
Okay, so that is quantitative. Mm-hmm. And so there has been research, like university-based, academic-based research on comparing outcome for patients who received healing touch before surgery, having a good controls, and those who did not.
Yes.
So
and even there have been some studies that showed shorter length of stay in hospitals postoperatively, and I think that was a cardiac study.
Uh huh. One thing I noticed when I was going through your book, you were talking about the impacts of energy healing, and you mentioned clearing the energy in the room and also something about energizing medications. Could you talk a little about beyond the person's body, the energy in the room?
Well, I think many of us have had the experience where you'd walk in someplace and you could feel something that maybe the energy felt dense or out of balance, or you just had a strange feeling walking into a room, and it might just be the energy that got left there from other things that have happened. Mm. Not necessarily negative, but just mm-hmm. different from your purpose in being there. But also, my teacher, Janet Menken, who put this organization, the Healing Touch Organization, together, she was a nurse, and she talked about energizing the medication and energizing the not just the patient, but also the linen and the food tray. And, maybe it's similar to blessing the food before a meal, mm-hmm. Saying grace before meals to honor that. So, yes, there are a lot of ways to use that.
It'd be interesting to know what physicists have to say about this. Yeah, very, very interesting. You talked about you don't have to actually touch the patient. So when you do healing touch, do your hands hover over the body, or do you actually touch the body?
I do both, and sometimes I ask the client or patient which they prefer. And a lot of people like the comfort of having the hands on.
Yeah.
So, for example, one balancing technique is to hold energy for a minute or so over each joint and over the major organs or over the energy centers, and some people like that. Other people might be in too much pain, or trauma survivors sometimes have issues with touch mm-hmm. or boundary issues, mm-hmm. and so being able to give a treatment that does not involve touch can be a comfort for them.
Yes. I've noticed in some of the massages I've received that I'm wondering now, after talking, learning a little about healing touch, if some of these massage practitioners haven't studied energy healing, because frequently they'll stay in one spot. Okay, they'll be touching one spot and stay, and then at the end of the massage, put their hands. I'm demonstrating this with my hands, so you can't see it on the radio. But basically, like you were not touching the person, but pulling something in the air around the body.
Yeah.
Does that?
It is true that a lot of massage therapists have had some energy healing training, not necessarily healing touch, but other things. And so they add some of those techniques, which actually can help the massage, the effects of the massage, go deeper and last longer.
I was very interested in the chapter in your book about the quality of presence that the healer needed to have during the session. They had to be centered. There were many qualities, and you talked about the state of mind of the healer and their self-awareness and centering and setting intention. Could you talk a little bit about that too?
Sure. One of the guidelines in Healing Touch is for practitioners to take good care of themselves so they can be in that state of being centered. And there are many situations where, for example, when I work at the hospital, I don't have the opportunity to actually be with somebody one-to-one doing a healing touch treatment. But if I can be a healing presence, and other people have found this as well, if you can be a healing presence and hold that neutral energy wherever you are, whether it's at a meeting, whether it's on a phone conversation, whether you're with a family and, you know, you're hoping that everything goes well, or with a patient. Sometimes patients receive bad news in the hospital, and they might not necessarily be ready for a healing touch treatment, but to be with them in a way that's caring and kind and open, I think, is another way of providing that healing.
And I noticed that you teach meditation classes. Is it a specific type of meditation? Because you emphasize that that is a good practice for healing touch practitioners to engage in.
Right. Well, there are so many approaches to meditation, as you well know. When I'm working with patients or in like very short-term experiences, like if I'm only going to see somebody once or somebody passes me on the street and asks me about meditation, the one meditation I like to suggest is just sitting quietly and noticing your breathing. It seems like the most basic one mm-hmm. in every meditation book that I've seen mm-hmm. and really can help to focus and center and is not complicated. But I also do an intention group that anyone is welcome to come to on what I think we're going to schedule now on the third Wednesday of every month in my office. And that's where people can set an intention for their own healing, for somebody else's healing, and then each person will get a turn with a group, will also meditate on that and hold the energy for that intention. But besides that, I have taught a yoga nidra meditation. I don't know if you're familiar with
that.
No, I'm
not.
It's the meditation where takes place during Shavasana. So people mm-hmm. lay in that corpse
in
pose.
Yoga.
In yoga.
Right.
And actually keep the mind active. So there are a few exercises. You do set an intention in that case and then go through rotation of consciousness through the different body parts that is in line with the way the brain interprets stimuli from the body. So it rebalances the brain in that way. Then there's counting backwards with breathing part of the exercise. There's visualization part of it. And then saying your intention again at the end. So it's one of those mind training exercises, mm-hmm. but it puts somebody in a deep state. And even though you're lying and keeping your mind active, the body gets profoundly relaxed in that state.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's take another short break and listen to some more good music. Mary Sapansky and I will be right back to talk about energy healing and its various modalities. Dr. Elaine Schroeder, and in the studio with me tonight is Mary Sapansky. Mary is a nurse in private practice as well as at Bartlett Hospital. She's an educator who teaches and practices healing touch, and she also is a Reiki master uses a process called the Emotional Freedom Technique. Mary, I'd like to ask you what brings people in? What are the issues that people come in with looking for some help when you use healing touch?
Well, by far above everything else is the issue of pain. That is the biggest motivator, I think, for people to get help for both medical help and alternative help.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
That is the first one. Sometimes anxiety-related things as well, because people don't want to have to take more medicine that's needed or take medicine if they don't need it. But it's kind of been interesting for me over the years to see that a number of people, first come in for pain, and then they get used to feeling their energy field, and they start to notice when it's out of balance. And they don't wait until that results in pain.
Huh.
They come in to get their energy rebalanced before the pain starts.
So they begin, this is kind of like biofeedback. After going to some sessions with you, they know when their energy field is unbalanced.
Right.
Is that the point?
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
They notice it.
Right.
And we have words for it. We say, I feel off center, something's wrong, I feel weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if you don't have a specific physical pain or complaint, we've all had that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so there's a heightened awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So mainly they come in for pain. And do you have people who wish to cure certain conditions, medical conditions or psychological conditions?
Sometimes, sure. I mean, nobody wants to be sick, right? And everybody wants to do what they can. So some people might hope that healing touch or different energy work is going to result in a cure. So as a nurse, I need to be careful and cautious about what I tell them, because some illnesses may have been cured by energy work, but we don't have consistent results on that, so we can't really promise
right.
that or say
yeah.
that that's going to happen. And But a lot of people accept that they have a certain diagnosis, and they just want to do whatever they can.
Yes.
To improve.
Exactly. And I notice that you teach a number of classes. You teach Healing Touch. But you also have some groups that use emotional freedom technique. And I've noticed you have one group that met in March called Stop Procrastination, another one, Healing Our Relationship with Food, and then another emotional freedom technique class, Releasing Symptoms of Acute and Chronic Illness. So we don't have enough time to look at all of them. Could you just tell us what emotional freedom technique is?
Sure. Emotional freedom technique is based on the meridians. So unlike acupuncture that uses needles in the meridians, or acupressure where you're massaging points on the meridians, in this case you're tapping the acupressure meridians in certain places. And it has a lot of the similar effects to Healing Touch, except that you can do it on yourself. So you can release pain. You can use it to release anxiety. You can use it to set goals for yourself that you want to accomplish. So it's another way of rebalancing or removing blocks in the body. And although I do teach those classes, I am so impressed with EFT, and I love things that people can do for themselves. So I almost always ask people when they call for Healing Touch treatment if they would also like to learn EFT. And then I'll take a little bit of time from the treatment and show them how to tap on certain issues. So there's a little bit of a script, certain words that you say for things that you want to release. So, for example, if you want to release anxiety, you would tap on that specifically.
Mm-hmm. A specific place in the body.
There are 12 major points. And I usually teach people all of them. Some people find that after they use it for a while, they might only need to use certain points for certain issues, so it can become more streamlined as they use it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's really coming, it's all part of the energy healing.
Part of energy healing or integrative healing, or what's sometimes called CAM, complementary and alternative medicine. So it's all part of that.
Right. I would like to thank Mary Sapansky for sharing her extensive experience and deep knowledge about energy healing, and I wish you luck with the publication of your book, and I hope it goes far. And thank you, Jeff Brown, tonight's technician, who supported me in this radio show for as long as I can remember. And good night to all of our Southeast Alaska listeners. Please tune in on another Monday next month at 7 p.m. to K2 for another edition of Mind Over Matter. Good night.